Welcome to page 24 and 25. We'll kind of do them together, even though it'll be a little bit longer because they really correspond so much. So we've got on page 24 some different symbols that we'll be walking through kind of to understand the Passover. So all of this is from Exodus 12, the Passover. Okay, here we go. First picture is the lamb. This picture specifically is like symbolizing the Lamb of God, Jesus. But first of all, we're talking about a literal, physical little lamb. And the lamb that each of the people are supposed to use for the Passover is male, unblemished. That means like no cuts, no scars, perfect, good, 1 year old, no bones broken. And then it's supposed to stay in the house for a little bit. And they're all supposed to slaughter the eight lambs together and then eat its flesh with unleavened bread at their meal. Okay. So they don't just kill the lamb, they have to kill it and eat it, specifically. Okay, later in the Bible, we hear Jesus called the Lamb of God. John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God," in John 1:26. In Revelation 5:12, it says, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain." Jesus is shown as a lamb with seven eyes. Isaiah 53:7 says, "The Messiah will be like a lamb led to the slaughter. He opened not his mouth." Jesus is the new lamb, okay? He's a new lamb at Passover. He's innocent. He's blameless. He's, like, unblemished, right? He's male. He has no bones broken, even on the cross, notably. And he suffers for us. He dies for us. His blood is what saves us, okay? And then we have to eat his flesh. It's not enough that he dies. We have to eat his flesh, which we do in the Eucharist. And the blood of the lamb marked the door. And when the angel of death saw that blood, they passed over it. So the blood of Jesus saves us in the Eucharist from death, and the blood on the cross saves us. So you think of like the blood dripping down on the wood, it's kind of similar. Okay, speaking of that, your second picture here on the page is the blood on the doorpost. So yes, it is the visual sign for the angel of death. Wipe this blood over your doorpost as a sign of salvation. It's like by the blood, they are saved. But there's a little detail here that connects and kind of draws your eye. The thing that they're painting the blood on the door with is a hyssop branch, okay? A little branch from a hyssop tree. Later, we see the same hyssop word, the same hyssop branch in Jerusalem at Golgotha when Jesus is on the cross. He says, "I thirst," and they give him this drink, and what do they raise it to him on? A hyssop branch. Okay, so you just see the you know, the branch going up towards the blood on the wood. It's like a very striking similarity in the imagery, helpful for our imaginations to put together the pieces there. Also remember, the ram is a Egyptian god. The creator god actually is a ram in Egyptian mythology, and so the fact that they slaughter these lambs, first of all, makes them, you know, at risk of being killed for this sacrilege in the land of Egypt. And then they take the blood and they wipe it on their doorposts. So they're really showing who did it. Like, who killed the sacred lambs? Well, it was clearly me because it's on my door. So there's like this active bravery here and surrender and trust that they're going to do this and God's going to actually take care of them instead of letting them die. It's the opposite. Okay, and then we've got this little manna and parsley kind of images down in the middle. This first Passover, they have specific instructions that have to do with what they're doing that night. So they eat unleavened bread because there's no time for it to rise. They eat with sandals on their feet, with staffs in their hands to hurry out of the land of Egypt. But then it becomes an annual feast. Okay, as a matter of fact, Exodus 12:14, "This day shall be for you a memorial day." So as soon as the Lord gives instructions for the original Passover night, he's also giving instructions for making this a memorial feast. Why? Because he wants them to remember, okay? As we will see here in the next couple of chapters of the Bible, well, actually, forever in the rest of the Bible, the people don't remember God. He does something amazing for them, and they forget him, and they worship other gods. So in the annual memorial feast of Passover, they incorporate things like parsley, like unleavened bread again to remember, like remembering the plagues and different things like that. If you've ever participated in a modern day Seder meal, there's all these different little like traditions or things, like dripping your finger in the wine and then dipping it on your plate 10 times for the 10 plagues Or saying things like, Dayenu, it would have been enough if you had only done this and not done this. Like, there are these prayer components and these beautiful things, and they're not all that ancient, but a lot of them were developed because of this memorial feast. So just a reminder that this has been around for a long time, and Jesus was a Jew. He grew up celebrating this. As a matter of fact, the reason he was in the temple when he was 13 years old and lost was he traveled in for Passover. And then the Last Supper was a Passover meal. As a matter of fact, I just heard that the loaves and fishes was a Passover meal. I'm not sure about that. But anyways, cool thing. Okay, next icon down is the calendar. So check this out. Exodus 12:1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of a new year for you." Okay, so this night of Passover marks the first day of a new calendar year for them. And we're going to use this calendar all through Exodus, through Numbers, through Deuteronomy. It's going to track their journey here. And 3 months from now, they're going to arrive at Sinai. And then 1 year from now, they're going to depart Sinai to go to the Promised Land with a covenant, with an ark of the covenant, with a tabernacle, and with Levitical priests. So a lot is going to happen in a year, little do they know. So all throughout, I'll be pointing out, like, look, it says the second month of the third year, the second day of the fourth month. You know, they start tracking it here, and it all begins this night. This night is like January 1st for them, okay? And then at the very bottom, we've got this little picture of Mary and a lamb. Mary had a little lamb. This is about Jesus. I just thought it was cute. Fun to know. And also, Jesus is both the lamb and the shepherd. Isn't that kind of cool? fun imagery. Okay, moving on to page 25. Do you see up in the top right corner, you've got this image, and it's half Jesus and half the Passover. Okay, so the old Passover meeting the new Passover, and Jesus is the sacrificed lamb. So this is cool and kind of complicated, and I wish I could say I'm going to do this justice, but I wonder if, you know, you're going to find this lacking, this explanation here. But let it whet your appetite for you to go explore and research more if after I explain this you think, what? What's going on here? So, okay, let me break this down for you. The Catholic Mass can also be considered the new Passover. Jesus' Last Supper was a Passover meal, and his Last Supper was the first Mass. So the last Passover memorial feast was the first Catholic Mass. And then the apostles go on to stop doing the Passover and start doing Mass, okay? So this is our covenantal meal. We don't have to do a memorial feast for Passover. We have to do a weekly sacrifice of the Mass. Okay, now there were four cups associated with the usual annual memorial feast of Passover, okay? It's kind of just the structure of the evening. They drink a cup of wine, they do some things, they drink another cup, they do some things, drink another cup, do some things, and then drink the last cup. Okay, this was typical. This was how it was done. And when Jesus was establishing the Mass at his Last Supper on Holy Thursday night, he changed things up. But it's important for us to know what it originally was to appreciate what he changed, right? So, and also it corresponds to the Catholic Mass. So let me try to tie all this together. First is the four cups kind of loosely, kind of closely tie into kind of the four parts of our Mass. We've got an introduction cup where they would sing these Hallels and Psalms and praise God and kind of open up the evening. We have this introduction to the Mass where we kind of open up the Mass. We have this collect prayer where we gather up all of our intentions for Mass and we kind of put them into the hands of the priest. We have this penitential rite moment where we kind of prepare our hearts and get ready to enter into the sacrifice. And it's short. It's like 5 minutes, our introduction or rites, but it's kind of like representative of that first cup. The second cup was, for the Jews, a cup of proclamation. The idea was, look what God has done for us, okay? And it was remembering what he's done, it was reading the Psalms, it was doing the little, you know, eating the parsley with the salt water to say, remember the slavery, remember what God has done, all these symbolic things. Today, we've got in Mass the Liturgy of the Word. So we're also remembering what he has done. But instead of doing anything, we're listening. We're listening to hear the readings. The readings are always the Old Testament in the first reading, the New Testament in the second reading, and the Gospel. And we're remembering what God has done. And if you go to Mass every Sunday for 3 years, you hear the whole Bible. And if you go to Mass every weekday and Sunday for a year, I think, you hear the whole Bible. So it's a rotation there. You remember and proclaim what God has done. Then the third cup, traditionally for the Jews in the Passover, was the cup of redemption. And they would drink the cup of wine, and they would say, this wine signifies the blood of the Lamb. Remember that blood of the Lamb that saved us. We're going to remember that as we drink this. And then they would have the meal and eat literal lamb flesh and eat literal unleavened bread. And that's what they would do. Now, at the Last Supper, Jesus interrupted the Passover. And instead of saying his line, whatever he was supposed to say, he instead passed around this unleavened bread. And he said, this is my body. Drink, eat, you know, this whole thing that he says. And he does the same with the cup that usually symbolizes the lamb's sacrificial saving blood. Now Jesus is saying, this is my blood. Okay. Do you know how cool that is? So it's, he's using the language they already understand, what they already know is going on. And now in the Mass today, this is the liturgy of the Eucharist. We don't have like a table meal, but we have the flesh of the lamb. And it's the bread. It's the Eucharist. And we drink the wine that is the blood. We eat the flesh that is the flesh of the lamb. It's our meal time part of it. Okay, and then catch this. This last piece here is kind of the pivotal piece. The fourth cup is the cup of consummation or praise. Consummation meaning, you know, closure, ending, finishing. At the Passover, they would drink this and sing some more songs and Hallels and remember the fact that God will one day send a savior, because they know they've been saved before. They've been saved from slavery. They've been saved from the Red Sea, but there's going to be a real deal savior that's actually going to deliver them. And at the Last Supper, Jesus skips the fourth cup. He does not drink it. How crazy is this? You might think, Monica, what's the big deal here? But here's the thing. He doesn't just forget it. He doesn't just get so excited. He just runs off without it. They specifically, you know, he says, I will not drink again until I drink with my Father in heaven. And then he goes off and into the garden to pray and to have his agony in the garden, singing these Hallels and these Psalms that indicate that that's what he should have drank that fourth cup, but he didn't. So anyways, you think, okay, well, he forgot it. Then he goes off to the agony in the garden. And what prayer does he pray? He says, Father, if it's possible, remove this cup from me. He's referring to his passion and death as a cup. What? Why would he do that? Because he's using the language of that fourth cup. What does that fourth cup symbolize? The Savior is coming. We will have a Savior one day. And Jesus knows, that's me. I'm the Savior. And the one day is today. And the way by which I become the Savior is give my blood and give my body and die. So Jesus does it. He goes about his whole passion. He submits to the will of God. He goes through the whole passion. And on the cross, one of the very last things he says is, I thirst. And so they take this old wine, okay, this vinegar wine, and he drinks it, the fourth cup he drinks on the cross. By the way, it's raised to him on the hyssop. Remember that detail? Okay, and then right after he drinks it, he says, it is finished. Now, there's a ton of things he's referring to, right? The old covenant. But he's mostly also referring to the Last Supper, the Mass, the whole sacrifice, the saving event, the event by which it's not symbolic that a Savior will eventually come. It's not a promise that one day in the future, it's right now, I am the Savior. I did the saving thing. I finished it. I drank the cup. It's over. It's finished. And now we go to Mass and we don't have to do the Passover, the annual Passover anymore, because this Mass replaces it. And our fourth cup is obviously getting that consummation, that communion with Jesus in the form of the communion. And then, you know, kind of the last rites, the leaving, the sending out to the fact that Jesus is our Savior and he has commissioned us to be part of his church. And so the ending, last 5 minutes of Mass, you're not supposed to leave Mass early because you're being sent forth and commissioned out to go out about your week, about your day, and to spread the gospel and to do your missionary thing. Isn't this cool? So we participate in being the Savior, and in the saving part, that fourth cup is about the Savior. We're not a Savior, but Jesus is a Savior, and he's asking us to participate with him. So that's kind of that, okay? If you want more, please look into this. Research. Look into the four cups, and correct me if I'm wrong in any of the things I said here, because I know this is a basic understanding of a very complicated and beautiful parallel here. But I hope that that gets you at least going in the right direction here. And we're going to go back to the story of Moses now.